expensive, more burdensome to operate a taxi cab in the future than it has been in the past. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying it's a fact. And so I think this leaves us in a dilemma because the regulatory costs and burdens are increasing on one sector of this industry, while another sector of the industry is unregulated. And there's something fundamentally questionable about that landscape. One part of the industry heavily regulated, another part not regulated at all.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org. We open the show with Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham's comments from Monday's long and contentious DC Council hearing on whether and how to regulate luxury sedan services like Uber. Later in the program, we'll be playing more clips from the hearing, but now we're joined in studio by the Taxi Link co-host, Tony Norman, who's a D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Commission member in Ward 1 and chair of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM. And also in the studio is Haimanat Biziwayihu, a board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Tony and Haimanat both testified at Monday's hearing. Welcome to both of you. Tony, let's begin with you. If you can lay out what took place at Monday's hearing and some of the points that you raised in your testimony.
Well, basically, the hearing was to pursue the regulation of Uber, and the owner of Uber was there testifying, if those who didn't hear it, whether or not they should be regulated or not. And the owner basically, which I felt was very arrogant to the council members, basically told the council members, we don't want you regulating us in a very, in my opinion, arrogant way. But even the substance of his argument didn't have any weight. In fact, if you listen to his arguments, he makes a very good case of why such an industry need to be regulated. And I think Councilmember Graham hit the nail on the head when he said you can't regulate one aspect of an industry and then keep another aspect of the industry unregulated. And one of the points I brought, I think basically what the underlying message here is a class war. Certain individuals relate better to the services of Uber and what they're providing than taxi cabs.
I should mention, Haimanat, before we get your thoughts, that this is the last show for the time being on WST 1120 AM for the Taxi Link. During the winter months, the signal cuts out earlier and earlier, and this time slot's no longer available. I'm sure many have noticed that the signal is already pretty weak. But this, we will still be continuing to broadcast, and those broadcasts will be posted at thefightback.org. And we'll also be hooking up with the Small Business Association's Saturday evening phone conference. It takes place in Amharic, but the segment we'll be doing will be in English. But Haimanat, you testified at Monday's hearing. It was long. It was contentious. What are some of your thoughts about the hearing? And what, as I asked Tony, what are some of the points you raised in your testimony?
Thank you, Pete. I share the Tony's characterization of the founder of Uber, or the CEO, that he was really arrogant. And as Tony said, Mr. Graham, also to some extent, the chairperson Che, tried to ask very tough questions and. He was answering the question in a very arrogant way, and here as Tony said that this is not just the taxi cab industry is not here opposing the Uber. What we the taxi cab industry is saying is that there is on one side a very heavily regulated taxi cab industry, and on the other side there is Uber getting a free ride. And we are, the taxi cab industry is asking the city council and the public in general to make the playing field level for us.
Are there any other major points that either you want to raise? We're going to run through a whole lot of clips from the hearing and get your comments afterwards. But since we cut out not too long from now, I want to make sure if there's any other major points you want to raise, let's do so now. Tony Norman?
The quickest major point I want to raise is that the taxi cab drivers still need to let their voice be heard. The Uber needs to be regulated. I mean, the council is going to decide this, and they are a threat and a competition to taxi cab drivers. So I think the taxi cab drivers still need to let the council know and the mayor know this industry needs to be regulated.
Hymanat?
Yeah, the issue is not innovation. The issue is there is one side, a heavily regulated taxi cab industry, and on the other side, Uber is coming, getting a free ride. And it is true that we, the taxi cab industry, have to adapt this modern technology and make it easy or convenient for the rider public to summon cab with through a smartphone application. We have to adapt that, definitely. But giving a free ride for Uber or Uber and some other companies like Uber a free ride and regulating or tying the hands of the taxi cab industry is not fair. We want the public and the city council, the lawmakers, and also the Uber or the founder of the Uber to understand that we are not against his innovation. We have to follow the same business model, but we are against regulating one industry, heavily regulating one industry, and giving a free ride for others.
Hymanat, you mentioned that Councilmember Graham asked some tough questions of the Uber CEO, or at least you referred to that indirectly. Well, for insisting that the playing field be level, Councilmember Jim Graham was taken to task by the Washington Post. In an editorial Friday, the Post wrote, D.C. has a meddlesome city government that seems far more interested in protecting the interests of a politically connected taxi industry than in supporting a welcome new transportation option for consumers, end quote. Unmentioned in the Post editorial, as well as in most media reports, was the problematic nature of Uber CEO Travis Kalanick's testimony, which was at times very ideological as well as right-wing, and Kalanick routinely disrespected district officials by talking over them. Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che chairs the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, which held Monday's hearing. In a contentious exchange, Kalanick repeatedly interrupted Che and insisted that the district was unfairly targeting Uber. We turn now to a clip which begins with Che telling Kalanick that how she interceded to stop the D.C. Taxicab Commission from going on sting operations against Uber drivers.
As you know, I interceded and I had them stop those, as best I could, those stings, and the legislation that went through. You had a little reaction that was different than your representatives about one portion of it, but
I would disagree with that characterization.
Well, fine, but my point about that is you all came to me to make it plain that the service was legal, which we did. And now
our service was legal from the beginning.
Well, okay.
We came to you. Hold on a second.
You talk about
hold
ambiguity.
On a second, Councilwoman Che.
We came up to ambiguity.
You. We came to you. Following your bill, which gave full, broad regulatory authority to the D.C. Taxi Commission to regulate us, and it was already clear that they were coming after us, and we came to you to basically say it's going to end up badly. And I said, look, if we could just avoid regulation altogether, any new regulation, that it would be a good situation. I've only had one conversation with you other than today, and what I told you was the regulations now cover the city, and that new regulations would be bad, and then we were surprised by your bill.
You're using we, but I don't know. Are your representatives here? Because we could call them up.
We can do that.
Yeah, we can certainly do that and see what the conversations were.
And I think the other part that you added to that was you wanted to make sure that there was a minimum fare on our services so that only rich people could use Uber, not people of middle income.
Well, as you know, the idea was to put us in a place where we could do this transition, and that's certainly what we ultimately did. That's what we're trying to do now.
Sure.
I know that you like to have, to cast this as, as some sort of fight. We're not in a fight with you. Do you understand that? I'm not in a fight with you. So
when you tell us how to do business and you tell us we can't charge lower fares, offer a high-quality service at the best possible price, you are fighting with us.
No, you still want to fight.
That was an exchange between Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che and Uber CEO Travis Kalanick from Monday's hearing at the D.C. Council over whether and how to regulate luxury sedan services. Kalanick and Che also exchanged words over Uber's variable pricing model, which allows the company to charge more when demand is higher. I'm curious about whether that's somehow a kind of gouging, said Che. In his explanation for why Uber's pricing shouldn't be regulated, Kalanick compared the situation to that in communist Russia, where he said there had been a severe shortage of toilet paper because it was too cheap. Kalanick said, that's a situation that gets created when you're not able to change the price. The young Uber CEO also boldly declared, albeit without evidence, that 99% of the documented cases of price controls by governments haven't gone well. We turn now to Kalanick and Che's exchange over Uber's variable pricing model.
Like how hotels price. This is how airlines price. This is how a lot of different...
But I am curious about whether that is somehow a kind of gouging. If there's more demand, why should the rider have to pay more money?
Well, I don't know if you remember like the old sort of history books or world history books where it would show in communist Russia how there are long lines for toilet paper. It's because the price of toilet paper was too low so that there wasn't enough supply and so that everybody could afford toilet paper, but they could never get it because there are too many people that wanted it and not enough people willing to supply it. And so that's kind of the situation that gets created when you're not able to change the price, when the price is mandated.
So they didn't have any toilet paper. Wow.
It was a rough situation. Look, price controls by governments, you know, they don't always go well. In fact, I'd say 99% of the documented cases don't go well.
But what I'm trying to figure out is why do you get the advantage? I am thinking of a different situation about people being stuck and a need arising that's acute.
What happens is...
Wait one second. And this will always stay in my mind. Maybe you think the analogy is not apt, but it always stays in my mind. I was online after Robert Kennedy was assassinated to view his lying in state. And the lines were very, very, very long, and it was a very, very hot day. And people who would ordinarily sell, say, water or orange juice or whatever at one price were charging 5 times, 10 times that as the people stood in line. That struck me as wrong. And I'm not sure I fully agree with you that, you know, this is really an economic mechanism that makes everybody happy. I think that, in fact, there's a bit of overreaching that may be associated with this. And so let me get to the point that relates to the council and to the taxicab commission. Should there be no regulation of your surges?
I think the customer needs to have the information.
That was an exchange between Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che and Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, who went on to say that his variable pricing model worked fine so long as customers were provided information about it. Directly following his testimony, I caught up with Kalanick and asked him whether he thought taxis should also be allowed to charge more when demand is higher.
Do you think that taxis should be have their prices regulated, or should they be allowed to charge more during high demand?
Look, the reason that taxi prices are regulated and fixed is because you don't know what you're getting when you get in that car because you have an anonymous person getting into an anonymous car. I think it'd be very interesting if taxis could charge different prices for an actual dispatch, right? When I call a dispatch company up, a radio dispatch or something, if I got a different price because I called and it was prearranged, that's fine. But it's not my job to figure out what sort of traditional hailing should be or figure out what that could be. But I'd say that I think it makes sense for drivers if they could make more through a dispatch mechanism.
That was Uber CEO Travis Kalanick. At Monday's hearing, Councilmember Jim Graham highlighted the importance of DC's drivers and said, "Many of our taxicab operators are small businesses with four wheels. Like Che, Graham expressed concern with Uber's variable pricing model. However, he didn't focus on Uber's higher prices, but on the lower prices Uber charges when business is slow, putting them in direct competition with taxis, which are heavily regulated, a situation Graham said was a fundamental inequity." We turn now to an exchange between Uber CEO Travis Kalanick and Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham.
The closer you get to the taxicab fare, the more people you are serving, the more people are able to avail themselves of your service, the less it's just about wealthy people with money to spend, perhaps corporate dollars that they're spending. You know, but the more you're in direct competition in terms of fare with the taxicab operators.
Well, the point is that the drivers, in the district, it's unique amongst other cities in that the district has a very fragmented market. It's mostly individual operators are those taxi drivers. If they can find an alternative to make a better living, they should be able to do so. And if the riders, on the other hand, can have a cheaper way to have a classier, high-quality service, then give it to them. And so then I wonder, who are you protecting?
Well, and that's a fair question to ask. It is a fair question to present. But the fact is, you know, I was chairman of this committee for 4 years. You may not know that. But I went through these taxicab issues at some length, believe me. And the fact of the matter is, it was pointed out to me very early on in my council service that many of our taxicab operators are small businesses with four wheels. We believe in small business.
Sure.
We care about small business. We care about there's a history in this city of small businesses associated with taxicabs. This is a good thing.
I agree.
For me, this is a good thing. Yep. This is something we want to protect and nurture. This is not something we want to destroy for the sake of some kind of consolidation into a big company. And most of our operators are small businesses.
And so are the ones that partner with Uber.
Right. I'm not saying they aren't.
We've got hundreds of them.
But it's a fact of the matter that these small businesses need to be acknowledged as such, and we do so in this city. And so it's a different situation than New York. It's a very different situation.
No, I get it. But
and
what
if we had may I
sorry,
be a member
my
of this committee, please? Do you mind?
Yep. Go ahead.
Where are you from, by the way?
Los Angeles.
Well, you see, perhaps you can do that in Los Angeles, but this is the District of Columbia, you see. And I'm trying to make a point.
Okay.
And the point that I'm trying to make is that if you remain unregulated and the taxi cabs remain increasingly more regulated, there's a fundamental inequity to that. That's why I'm saying to you, please reconsider the point of view that you expressed in July. That you would not take a minimum fare, that you would not give us the opportunity to regulate you to the extent to which you weren't in such direct competition with our operators.
That was Uber CEO Travis Kalanick and Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham. We turn now to another exchange these two had at Monday's hearing.
And look, I repeat again that the people I represent are impressed with your service. They like your service. Many of them do. Those that can afford it. You know, and I give you that advantage in this. But I don't want this city to be Uber. I really don't, because there's too much of a history of our taxicab industry that is contrary to that I'm interested in preserving, frankly.
If you allow competition, what you'll get is a better taxi industry.
Right, but you can't have – one last point, Madam Chair. You can't have competition where one party is unbridled and able to do whatever they please whenever they want to do it, and the other party has their hands and feet tied. You know, this is – by regulation, that's not competition.
No Uber can go pick up a customer that puts their hand out.
Well, that's true, but who doesn't have a cell phone in the District of Columbia today?
No, I understand, but my point is in cities around the country, all over the country – The regulations you have for sedans and for taxis are almost identical to what they have in the other cities.
No, but you have a decided advantage in the scheme that you are describing right
but
now.
But that means that drivers are making a better living and riders are getting a better service. And that doesn't sound
Uber,
bad to me.
If everybody were Uber. Thank you very much.
Or competitor.
That was Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham and Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, who stated, quote, "No Uber can go pick up a customer who puts their hand out," end quote. Yet drivers report regularly seeing Uber vehicles making street hails. This issue was discussed Wednesday on the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU. Kojo was joined by WAMU transportation reporter Martin DeCaro. When they opened up the phone lines, a driver by the name of Moses called in and had this to say.
Kojo, my main goal here was the Ubers. Uber is not just a regular Uber as it's known to be, like you would call it from a certain building in the office and it would pick you up and take you there. But late at night, I see them... Because I'm a cab driver, too. I see them at night hustling and bugling the same fares we take. When people flag us, you see them rushing and taking our customers as well. And I wonder...
That has been a complaint that was made by about limo drivers in general in the past. How do you know that the limo drivers you're seeing are related to Uber, Moses?
Because some of these Ubers, I know them in person.
He has a name for them, Ubers.
They're not allowed street hails. It has to be prearranged. And, you know, I myself have been walking home late at night and a limo will pull up next to me and ask, do I want to ride? There's no meter. We agree. He takes me home.
And you have no idea of knowing whether that limo is associated with Uber or not.
And, you know, technically he's not supposed to do that.
That was a clip from the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU. Back at Monday's D.C. Council hearing on whether and how to regulate luxury sedan services, Councilmember Jim Graham tried to get a better sense of exactly how Uber operates and just how large the D.C. operation is.
But let's take your minimum fare of $15, because today anyone who enters one of your vehicles, Uber vehicles, is going to pay $15, right? Minimum.
That's correct.
Okay. How is this $15?
In this city.
Well, yeah, in D.C. How is this $15 divided up?
We always take 20%.
So Uber gets 20% of the $15, so you get $3. Is that right?
Yeah.
$3. And where does the other $12 go?
It goes to the sedan company that we partnered with.
Pardon me?
It goes to the sedan company that we partnered with. And typically in D.C., that's an individual operator.
But where does the company, how much does the company get of the $12?
All of it.
And how much does the operator get? Are the operators
the individual operator gets the $12.
No, but what if it's a company that hires individual operators?
Then they have some sort of deal.
But you don't know anything about that?
No.
You don't know anything about that. So if it's an individual, you have individual operators who are directly contracted with your company?
Yeah, so individual operators that run a sedan company, like I think we heard this morning, maybe have one car and maybe they're the only driver.
Right.
We basically pay them as a vendor, essentially.
And how many of these operators do you have, individual operators who are directly contracted with you?
I don't have the exact number for that question, but we're in the hundreds.
500?
Again, if you want, I can provide that information offline. I just don't have it with me.
But can you give me an approximation?
It's not low hundreds and it's not high hundreds.
Could that be 500?
Could be.
I mean, are we talking about that type of size of operation?
It's in that neck of the woods.
That was Uber CEO Travis Kalanick telling Councilmember Jim Graham that the number of Uber's vehicles in the district is not low hundreds and it's not high hundreds. When Graham pressed him about how he went about determining how many vehicles to contract with, Kalanick responded saying, it's like, how does the ice cream store know how much ice cream to get? He just figures it out and he buys some frickin' ice cream. The clip begins with Graham questioning Kalanick about how many driver applications Uber has pending.
So you would then have very definite information on things like the number of applications pending?
I mean, that data exists somewhere. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue.
But do you have applications pending?
Of course.
You do. And is it because you just have a backlog in getting to the inspections that these applications are pending?
Again, we need to make sure that we're not bringing on more partners than demand needs, because otherwise it's not a conducive environment for the operators.
But how do you see, you keep using these terms, and it suggests that there is a formula somewhere in your mind. It suggests there's a science to this somewhere in your mind, demand. I mean, how do you know when you have reached that demand and when you haven't?
We're very aware of exactly how many people are signing up and using the service.
But how do you know what the demand is if you don't exercise the number of operators to find that out? I mean, I just don't know. How does this work? Can you tell me? Is there a manual that you have for each city?
It's like, how does the ice cream store know how much ice cream to get?
Well,
he just figures it out and he buys some frickin' ice cream.
But you don't know how many operators you have in the District of Columbia today.
I can get you that number afterwards to make sure that it's accurate.
That was Uber CEO Travis Kalanick and Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham from Monday's hearing in the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation. We'll return to some more clips, but I want to pause for a moment and get responses from the TaxiLink co-host, Tony Norman, and from Haminat Biziwayihu, who's a board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers, which is the largest D.C. cabbie organization by far and which sponsors this program. Tony Norman, your response.
Once again, I say all you have to do is listen to this guy. This guy, the arrogancy is comes out of his pores. I mean, he has the nerve to say, just buy some freaking ice cream. Who would say that to the council at a public hearing? It just shows you the arrogancy of saying we don't want to be regulated, and who are you to regulate us? That's why I think he makes a basic case why that industry needs to be regulated. This is a guy who has made public testimony that stated that he doesn't really see a problem with gouging, although he wouldn't agree with that term, but he does not see a problem with it. So that's why the industry needs to be regulated. That's why there has to be equity of all vehicles for hire in Washington, D.C.
Haimanot, your response?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, this guy is trying to justify that Uber is not cutting into the taxi cab industry market, the driver's business here, just by saying that the Uber drivers only work, doesn't work through a straight hail and only dispatching system or this smartphone application system. The fact of the matter is that we, the drivers, see it day in, day out that the Uber drivers are taking our fares from street hills, from restaurant in front of restaurants and hotels. Not only that, but look, these days everybody has a smartphone, and the conventional dispatching system is going to be history. Everybody is going to use a smartphone to hail a cab. So just to justify or to differentiate the Uber drivers and the taxi cab drivers just solo on this a smartphone application doesn't make sense to me. And everybody knows that. And look, Uber and Uber doesn't even know, doesn't own vehicles using limos and limo drivers to operate in the city. And the taxi cab drivers and Uber drivers are in the same line of business and competing for the same customer base. And just to justify that Uber is a separate class of transporting system in the district just because of it's using a smartphone application doesn't make sense. And the media is not fair here. It's not covering the real issue here. I mean, it looks like the media is just taking side and only talking about Uber and Uber innovation and ignoring the appeals of the taxi cab drivers in Washington, D.C. and the taxi cab industry in general.
I think it is striking that somehow if you use a smartphone, then you know your driver intimately and they don't need to go through all these, you know, serious restrictions and regulations. But if you just hail a cab, then you're just completely at a loss. So therefore, drivers who through the hail, you need these strict regulations. But through a smartphone, all of a sudden, there's just no need for this. I think this is the line that they're drawing. But I think, as you're pointing out, it's not so clear to me just because you have a smartphone that you shouldn't regulate the driver.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Look, on that, I mean, these Uber drivers, as of today, as far as I know, didn't go through all the regulations procedure like the taxi cab drivers. When it comes to safety, if by saying that, by using smartphone application, when he's referring to that the passenger knows which cab is picking him and that he's going to be safe, it is untrue, because taxi cab drivers went through a background check, okay? And every year, we have to go back to the taxi cab commission and fill a renewal application in the process, recertifying that we are safe drivers, we are licensed drivers, and our background is not only one time when I apply for the license, but every year when you go to renew our license, they double check, recheck that we are really legitimate drivers. And to put for the CEO to put the safety of the passengers, but by using a smartphone application is much better than the taxi cab drivers. It doesn't make sense to me. And that's what we have to communicate with the rider public here. And each and every driver has to communicate with their passengers that what they're saying and what, when it comes to safety, we are more, we can provide a very safe service than the Uber drivers, because we are known. We went through all these background checks.
Tony, you're an attorney. You're very familiar with the legislative process and fighting for consumer rights. Weigh in here on the difference. If you have a smartphone, you don't have to have the background check, and drivers don't need the close scrutiny. But a street hail, well, there's a stark difference, according to the D.C. Council.
Well, that's why when I testified at the council, there should be a standard rule for all vehicles for hire, whether it's whether you do it over the application or whether you do it by hail. There should be a standard rule of pricing. There should be a standard rule of determining what the price is, and that a rider should know what he's going to pay and where he's going. It should be equitable and fair to the passenger as well as the driver. So if you have a standard rule, which I don't think is the case now, because one part of the industry is lopsided. So whether it's app or however you do it, like one person stated, apps are nothing but a fancy word for dispatching, and we have dispatching. There should be rules to deal with dispatching, whether it's by telephone or whether it's by smartphone or whether it's by what have you, tweets. But there should be standard rules of equity of all parties, regardless of the medium of the dispatch.
I want to turn to a couple more clips and then get responses from you, Tony Norman, and you, Haimanot Bizuayihu. And next up is Ron Linton. He's the chairman of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, and he also testified at Monday's hearing. Linton says that despite the setbacks posed by the challenge to the Verifone contract, that's for all the taxi smart meters, he still expects to have meters installed in the majority of D.C. taxi cabs by the inauguration.
Thus, the commission was extremely pleased when Mayor Gray introduced the first taxi to have the Taxi Smart Meter System, or TSMS, installed on August 22nd. Our plan was to have all of the approximately 6,500 DC taxis equipped with the TSMS by the time the presidential inauguration occurred in January 2013. However, our installation schedule has been impacted by the Contract Appeals Board decision to halt the work. We remain confident that the board will agree that the contract was rightfully awarded to Verifone through the RFP process. The district government's attorneys have also expressed confidence in the RFP process. But this delay certainly disrupts our plans and necessitates modifying the installation schedule. Provided the decision is made in the next few weeks, we will redouble the installation effort so that a majority of our taxis will still be equipped with TSMS by the inauguration.
In his testimony, Chairman Linton also discussed his idea for creating a new jitney class of vehicle that could only operate within a limited geographical area within the city.
This new public vehicle for hire that I'm about to describe would be a jitney class. The class of public vehicles for hire would address the problems we think of resolving the underserved areas issues. While we are very early in our study of a jitney system, we feel this class would use a van-type vehicle to serve a specifically geographically designated area to over short distances at a fixed bucket price rather than a meter.
That was Ron Linton, chairman of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. We now turn to Mary Che. In her opening remarks, she discussed the changing nature of the taxi industry. We now turn to Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che from Monday's hearing.
The public vehicle for hire industry has undergone enormous changes in just the last few years. The name taxicab industry is actually no longer adequate as a description of an ever-growing variety of services, which now includes taxicabs, limousines, black cars, or sedans. All of these are now part of this industry. These services must be viewed as a fundamental part of the district's vast and progressive transportation network, which includes private vehicles, bikes, metro, the circulator, Capital Bike Share, Zipcar, Car2Go, and soon enough, streetcars. I myself am an avid user of these multimodal transportation options, and recently as Friday, was in a Car2Go, which I used to get around to meetings. Because of transportation innovation, residents have more choices than ever before. For those in the district who rely on a driver, even the ways they are connected is changing, as so-called digital dispatch technology has made hiring a driver simpler, more convenient, and more efficient. Many passengers no longer rely on street hails, as we call them, to arrange for a ride, and many drivers are relying less and less on cruising to find available passengers. This has many benefits for riders and drivers, including saving time, preserving fuel, and increasing revenue. Technology companies have seized on the opportunity and have created smartphone applications to facilitate the connection between passengers and drivers. In some cases, these applications go the extra step by using GPS technology not only to determine the location of passengers and drivers, but to calculate the fare for the time and distance that a passenger travels during his or her trip. To begin, we should set out some fundamental propositions. First, in the district, we welcome and encourage transportation innovation. We welcome and encourage transportation innovation. The taxi reform legislation the council passed this summer creates a new class of vehicles, sedans, that ensures that services, that these services are legal and continue and will continue to be available. Second, we encourage competition among companies to offer the best services to our consumers. And third, we should understand this. Governments regulate public vehicles for hire for one main reason, consumer protection. We want to ensure, and in fact, as a government, we are obligated to ensure that the vehicles that are used are safe, that passengers are not discriminated against, that customers are treated fairly and not cheated so that they know the cost of utilizing services, and that they are protected in other ways, for example, the protection of their credit card information. However, with the advent of new technology and the development of different applications, we are experiencing a sea change in how consumers use public vehicles for hire. The same rules that apply to vehicles that are street hailed are not always applicable or should not always be applicable to those that are exclusively available via dispatch. And, in fact, I see a fundamental difference between the two kinds of services, and we'll be asking our witnesses their views about this. It's the focus of the hearing to determine what, if any, rules should be adopted for services available exclusively by dispatch. The Taxicab Commission has proposed its own regulations to govern digital dispatch and sedan class vehicles, and this hearing will, among other things, explore those regulations.
That was Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, chair of the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, which held a hearing Monday on whether and how to regulate luxury sedan services like Uber. Tony Norman, Haimanot Biziwayihu, I want to get your final thoughts, your responses to the clips we played from Taxi Chair Ron Linton and from Councilmember Mary Che, as well as any final thoughts you have, Tony Norman.
Well, basically, Ron Linton, as we've stated many, many times before, he's not favorable or friendly to the average taxi cab driver. I mean, and now he's saying that he wants to go forward when he knows this contract has some serious, serious flaws with it. And he's trying to pretend that there are no problems with this particular contract. In fact, everybody is trying to run away from this contract. And he's saying you can still, we're going to have everything together by the inauguration. So that's just wishful thinking on his part. That's not going to happen. And there are some serious flaws with this contract. So he needs to acknowledge that. And so that's misleading to the public and it's misleading to the council. And so he's consistently misleading about it. But also the bottom line that with that hearing is that Uber needs to be regulated. I mean, regardless of how the limo, whether you call it a limo or a sedan or a taxi, it's still a vehicle for hire. And there should be standards for all drivers, be it limousine, taxi cab, and all of them should meet a certain standard that everybody can comply with. And if they don't do that, then it's favorable to one particular industry. And I think that, once again, Linton is not moving in this direction to help the taxicab drivers. Let's be clear about that. He's just doing it out of his own personal ego that he feels that he's a super cop and he wants to regulate and go after the bad guy that he considers Uber. And that's just his ego he's chasing. It's not the taxicab industry that he's trying to improve, nor is it the taxicab driver.
Haimanot Biziwayihu.
Yeah, the taxi cab industry is not against modernization or adapting to this new innovation. When it comes to this very phone contract, the taxi cab industry has to continue to oppose to that because that's a monopolistic contract which is awarded to one vendor and which will be a burden for the taxi cab industries in general. Continue to ask or to appeal to that the city council or the lawmakers is that, well, they have to just set the technical standards and make it mandatory to have this credit card system into our cabs, but they have to leave the for us to find the cheaper a vendor so that we can install this machine and start giving providing the service to the riding public. And we have to continue to oppose that contract with Verifone. But when it comes to Uber, I mean, what our stand should be and has to, should continue to be is that we are not against bringing this Uber. If they have to bring Uber, Uber has to be regulated. If they want to give a free ride for Uber, They have to deregulate us so that we can compete. We don't fear competition. We can compete. But they, if they tie our hands, not so that we cannot compete, freely compete with Uber and other certain services, it's not going to be fair. So we, the drivers, the taxi cab industry, has to continue to educate the riding public, the city council, that what we are opposing is not innovation. What we are opposing is not modernization. What we are asking is to be fair. And if you bring some other sort of class in the same industry, in the same line of business, it has to be fair, regulate them, or deregulate us, the taxi cab industry.
That's the voice of Jaime Apezihuahu, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. At least for the time being, this is the last edition of the Taxi Link broadcast here on WST 1120 AM. We look forward to continuing to broadcast on a weekly basis, and you'll be able to find upcoming shows as well as past ones at thefightback.org, as well as on the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, their Saturday evening phone conference. And you can dial in. It's Saturdays at 8:30 p.m., and the number to call is 712-432-3100, 712-432-3100, code 140465. I'd like to thank the Small Business Association for sponsoring the Taxi Link. Along with Tony Norman, it's been a privilege hosting the show. Over the past months, a number of drivers have commented that the Taxi Link sounds professionally produced, and that's because it is, thanks to Mark Taylor, who engineers the show. He drives several hours out of his way each week in order to be here, and I'd like to recognize him for his efforts as well as his craftsmanship. Mark's the best engineer I've worked with. I'd also like to thank Will Martin for his tireless efforts in helping to produce the Taxi Link each week. As I said, we'll be continuing with the show, so check us out at thefightback.org. Spread the word. Let drivers and others know they can listen to the show right on their smartphones by visiting www.thefightback.org. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.